The world of healing can be treacherous, but suddenly spiritual aims to provide real, honest, practical spiritual knowledge and wisdom for the true seekers among us. The goal is to ignite the divine human within each listener, raising the collective consciousness for our planet. We will challenge your preconceptions, push your buttons, and encourage deep reflection. We're not here to adhere to the status quo of what the New Age spiritual market wants you to buy into and believe. Consider this your antidote to the woo-woo and a place of woo you.
The last time I checked, healers are not used car salesmen or people who sell kitchen cleaner on TV, because it seems like there's a lot of guarantees that you'll be healed, quote unquote, from terminal illnesses, or your whole life will flip upside down, right side up. And I see a lot of that. I just see so many guarantees, which technically, if you think about it, at least here in the United States, you're not allowed to make those types of guarantees. And I remember when I was training with one of my teachers, she's like, we can't guarantee any type of help. We cannot guarantee any of that, because it's really up to the person who you're helping within their healing journey for them to do the work. You can give them the keys to the house, but if they don't walk up the steps and then get to the door and put the key in the door and then open the door and walk into the home, you can't do it for them. And these guarantees give people a lot of false hope, which I think is incredibly dangerous, because usually people who are going to healers for these miraculous healings are in a very, very vulnerable place. They've maybe had a lot of intense diagnoses, they've gone through treatments, and now they're going to this person thinking that this person is the healer of all. And that's a lot of pressure on the healer. And that's also, it's just not true. It's not true in a lot of cases. There are people who can spontaneously heal others, but those people typically are not on Instagram, is what I'm saying. They're typically very low key. They don't make all these grandiose promises, and they let their work speak for themselves. It's the ones who promise and guarantee and make all these very, very big claims. That's what gets attention. And then it sucks people in, because people want to be healed. People want to be quote unquote fixed, which I don't believe. I don't subscribe to brokenness. I don't believe that people are broken to begin with.
That's interesting, because I've thought about this quite a bit. And if you think about it, and talk about it earlier about people being transactional about something spiritual, the two things are opposed. They're diametrically opposed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the system or way of thinking that caused you to be less spiritual, how can someone who's going to help you heal use the same modality and the same thought process of being transactional, of capitalistic thought processes? And it's just interesting when I talk to friends and colleagues, because we're all individual, we're all unique beings, and we all have a unique story and a unique spiritual journey. It can't be a one-size-fits-all. And if you figure that out, or somebody's pretending to give you that, I would be really weary of it, because how can you create something that you just stick on me that's going to fix me, but I'm unique in the universe? And when I think about a psychologist or even just a friend who you're speaking to, they need context. of your whole life or what you're willing to share or where you are in that journey. And, you know, it's that old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. And anyone who says that they can, you know, cast spells or do things on specific people, that is something, again, I think it's one of the few laws in the universe. It's free will, right? You can't make somebody do something. And when I see that happening, I immediately, like we've said before, I don't walk, I run the other way.
Well, I see your law of the universe and I raise you another law of the universe. There's always outcomes. There's always consequences to people who do cast spells on others. That is a thing. People can and do and will cast spells on other people. And there's always a backlash. There's always an outcome that people do not expect when these spells are cast. And again, it is, yes, it is about free will. Like, you can't make someone fall in love with someone else. You can put a spell on them for sure, and it'll cause all kinds of havoc on people. But is that really the outcome that you wanted? It's not going to be true. It's not going to be authentic, that love. And also the taking away of certain things that we see as things that are wrong with us. How do you not know that there are certain things in your life, which I believe personally, we create everything. We create everything that's in our life. And everything is a lesson, an opportunity. Even the most tragic of things, there's always a way to gain insight, knowledge, wisdom, character, strength from everything in your life. And again, back to the brokenness thing. I don't believe that people are broken. This is, again, my perspective. And you can take my perspective and make it your own. You can put it in the trash. I have no attachments to it for other people. This is just what I personally subscribe to. If it's helpful, great. If it's not, toss it. But I believe that people are not broken. I think society wants us to believe we're broken so we can get fixed by society in some way, whether it be fixed by school or fixed by work or fixed by, you know, the big pharma people. You know, there's always a pill for everything. Well, guess what? There isn't a pill for your spirit. The pill is you. You are the one who is to work with your spirit on this earthly plane. So there is no pill for that. There's no app for that. There's no app to get you consistent working with your spirit. Ego is a tricky thing because, depending on who you speak with, we all do need some sense of ego, of self. But when that ego runs amok and causes separation between people and healers or just amongst people, that's where we get into trouble as human beings. And dissolution of ego, a lot of people talk about, oh, I'm dissolving my ego into nothingness. Well, okay. Then how are you to interact as a human if you have zero ego and you're fully in spirit? Then you wouldn't have really incarnated as a human being. You would be an ascended master. And the last time I checked, you know, none of us are ascended masters because we're all still embodied as human beings. And a lot of these healers will say and will promote, oh, I am part of the lineage of the divine sisterhood of the rose. I'm directly a descendant or directly connected to Mother Mary or Mary Magdalene, or I am directly, you know, descendant from Lao Tzu or Kuan Yin or the Arcturians or the Pleiadians or, you know, all of these other beings that are out there in the universe. And they start to separate. They start to create this level of separation between them and the people that they have chosen to help or heal or support. And I think that the biggest illness and the biggest illusion and lie that we face is the lie of separation, that each of us is separate from each other and separate from source, that we are completely individuals and we are not connected to each other in any way. And this particular lie gets further perpetuated when people elevate themselves with grandiosity and puffery through their ego and how they present themselves. Specifically, it's usually in social media is where I see it the most, where things are very curated, where things are very edited in order to look in a very specific way to create a separation and create an air of, I'm better than you. You need me because I'm the only one that can help you. You lowly mortal, let me see if I can help you because I'm basically God on earth walking around and you should be so lucky to be around me.
When I see tendencies like that, I definitely perk up a bit and I want to investigate a bit more. And then I realize that if they're helping me, it should be about me, not about them. Now, the exception I may consider is if they're telling me a story about themselves where they overcame something or to emphasize a point they're talking about, that I'm always looking for, I think, because I can relate and say, hey, I'm going through that or I went through that. But I definitely see it, again, coming from my experience in the music industry, when I see that, two things come to mind. It's insecurity, then they're creating this identity, or if it's entirely about them, then what have they figured out about themselves? If I'm trying to be more spiritual, enhance my self-awareness, have they done that? And if they haven't, and it's all about, and yes, we have to pay bills and we have to live in this world the way it exists now, but if that is the primary energy, I'm definitely aware of that and thinking, if I'm considering healing, the first thing I'm going to look at is how do I feel with what they're presenting me, whether it's the website, the way they're speaking, just their general vibe. Obviously, it's a little bit different in person. You can sense more. But it ends up being in a relationship, a human relationship, not a romantic one, but it's still some of the same hallmarks where if I'm going to be having this person help me on my journey, I need to be comfortable with them.
I think it goes even beyond comfort. I need to be able to trust them. I need to be able to feel as though their intentions working with me are pure, that, and you're not going to get 100% pure intentions. That's just not, I wish we had that in excess, but right now it doesn't feel like that's something that is ubiquitous, the pure intentions. And maybe I'm a little jaded considering I've been within the spiritual community in some respect or another for like almost 15 years now. But I think that you need to trust that person, that they actually want to help you and they're not doing it in order to puff up their ego, in order for them to get another badge in the cosmic, you know, in the cosmic Girl Scout badge template of, oh, I helped so-and-so. Okay, add another badge. You know, it's not a video game where you increase in level depending on what actions you take. And so you need to be able to trust that person. And I agree with you, when it's in real life, in person, you're able to feel and sense and intuit much more. But there are some pretty egregious people out there. I remember I was looking at someone's website who they had created this trip to Egypt. And I think the trip to Egypt was like $14,000. And just the imagery, the photography was so like, really? I rolled my eyes. I was rolling my eyes and I was like, wow, look at your judgment of this photography. It's obviously eliciting something in you really strongly, but it was just like so cheesy, for lack of a better word. It was so, look at how handsome I am. Look how sexually attractive I am to women. And I was like, is that what you're selling for a trip to Egypt? I was like, something's wrong here.
Well, that goes to my next point that I definitely want to talk about. Is when you are discovering and enhancing your self-awareness and discovering your spirituality, then you're looking for help. You're in a very vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. And one of the things a lot of people need to consider, and it goes both ways, and it took me a while to get here too, is to ask yourself, I think, what attracts you to the healer? Is it the way they look? Or can they help you? Do you want to date them or be their friend? Or do you want them to work with you? And, you know, I've gone through this too, because I'm coming out of this society where the emphasis is on looks, having to work through that conditioning. When you see somebody that you think can help you, because we're trained to look at visuals first, and then, oh, maybe that can help, that person can help me, you have a talk with them, then you're it's an intimate relationship where you're sharing what you've gone through and they're trying to help you, and then you start pushing that on to them, thinking, well, basically you're confusing that emotional resonance with connection or romantic love, which does have a component to it. But if you're leading with that, I would argue that people on this journey need to temper that and go, look, this is all confusing because it's emotional, it's spiritual, that's part of romantic relationship, but not here. And you can't lead with that and then realize we're all conditioned to lead with it. And it's a process of undoing that and going, well, I'm not going to lead with that. Again, it's all back to self-awareness. Maybe we should have called this enhanced self-awareness, but it's part of being spiritual. And for me, that's what I lead with, is enhancing my self-awareness and going, what am I thinking here? Why did that thought come into mind? Okay. And then it happens so many times. And being physically attracted to a healer or wanting to be their friend is fine, but could your attraction potentially hinder your healing?
I think it can. And I think it's very human to be attracted to beauty or what we perceive to be beautiful. And that's completely fine. I think that also what happens, some of these spiritual influencers and healers, what they do is they curate a very beautiful lifestyle that they post on social media. It's this beautiful, aspirational lifestyle. I'm in Bali, I'm in Tulum, I'm by the beach in, you know, in Costa Rica, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that many people are attracted to that and they want to be those people. They want to attain the lifestyle that these people have or portrayed to have, because many times it's smoke and mirrors. Instagram is everyone's highlight reel. It's not everyday life typically to that kind of level and effect. So I think that if you become so wrapped up in someone's lifestyle or the way they look, you will potentially miss really important lessons about your own healing and about diving into your own self-awareness and what you are attracted to and why. I think in the beginning, it may help you to find people that you resonate with potentially. And then as if you continue on being attracted to that particular healer because of their lifestyle or the way they look, then I could see it being a detriment because you're not being present with what's coming up for yourself at a deeper level. It's kind of shallow, basically. You're working in a very shallow level. And I'm not saying this happens all the time, but I could see the danger of that. And you may, I've seen this happen. There was this healer that I know, she's very beautiful, but people outgrow her really quickly. And she has good boundaries. And so when men are attracted to her in order to do healing work, she accepts them as clients. But eventually the men become disinterested in her because she has very good boundaries and she doesn't allow those boundaries to be encroached as much as some men may try. She's very clear. So there are also healers who date their clients. And as a psychotherapist, a former psychotherapist, that is the biggest red flag to me. It's all the sirens start going off at once, because in psychotherapy land, you are not allowed to date or have any kind of romantic relationship with any patient. I believe in the state of California, it's 7 years after you've terminated therapy with them. So when I went to therapy school, it was, no, it's not 7 years, it's forever. You should forever, ever, never, ever, ever date a client you've ever had or you will lose your license. So do not do it at all. So I bring that perspective to healing work where I like to, again, keep boundaries clean. But because healing work is not a licensed, protected type of work, it's Wild Wild West and people do all kinds of things. They marry, they date, you know, they have really close friendship relationships, which again, you're creating murky boundaries. And with murky boundaries, other problems tend to crop up.
Well, let's call a spade a spade. There are certain spiritual influencers who promote that and they're counting on it. I'm attractive. You're lonely. Give me your money. And when the boundary comes up and the customer leaves, that's cool. I got your money. And I think the thing we all need to be aware of is when we find ourselves moving to those thoughts as opposed to healing or having that person help me be more spiritual.